You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the latest report from the United States Department of Agriculture. Deals with livestock, cattle, and feed just came out. What did you see?
Mostly negative. The on-feed numbers a little bit above the average at 97%, placed in May 98% on the very top end of the trade estimates, marketed in May also a little bit disappointing at the very low end of the range of 97. Placements look like they might be drought related because versus April, Texas placements up 31%, Oklahoma up 53%, Kansas up 23%, Colorado up 21%. So inflated placement numbers, maybe due to drought, is what I'm thinking.
And when you look at the cattle futures, do you see any of that in the numbers that we're trading this week, too?
Possibly. I think they did see some short covering on Friday. You probably had some unwinding of long hog short cattle spread trading on Friday. That boosted the August feeders above its 40-day moving average for the first time in several months. One of the best closes on the week after a really tough week start. August feeders able to get up to levels not seen for a couple months, getting closer and closer to that 150 level. It may be a toppy part of the range here with this placement number. We'll have to see on Monday.
Live cattle, kind of the same thing in the August contract. They rallied higher, but they're up just on the top end of their channel that's still moving lower.
Yeah, we can't seem to establish cash trade at this point. I think the trade's still wondering whether we're going to see a lot more pork consumed and poultry consumed here domestically at the expense of higher-priced beef. And so until we see the cash market start to move in sync with those record retail prices, I think the cattle will probably continue to follow the hogs for the most part.
When you look over at the grains and oilseed side, which was the most interesting of contracts to watch? And you might even talk a bit about the July options expiration.
Yeah, I would say probably the corn. You know, it was just Monday that Dease corn hit a three-week low of around 5.25, and within 3 days was able to rally 50 cents, get up to its six-month trading range resistance, and, you know, mostly on the heels of a strong wheat turnaround. And it goes back to historically, Todd, it seems as though if wheat wants to get a bottom in place, that needs to happen before the corn really wants to get a bottom in place. Not sure if this is a long-term bottom in the wheat. I would feel a lot better a week from today if we would still be above the 200-week moving average and still see July KC wheat well above 735 and maybe even above 750. It's going to be next week that we're going to get a lot more of Kansas wheat yield reports in, and obviously we'll have the grain stocks report behind us. So those are the two biggest issues, I think, probably that could frustrate the wheat bull or frustrate the analyst that thinks the wheat's got to get a bottom in place here.
I think one of the things that I see that is most interesting, I've already figured the weekly changes for Commodity Week, which you're a guest on this week, by the way. Looking forward to talking to you about 4:30 this afternoon Central Time. In the corn, nearby July for the week gained 6.75, but December corn gained 23.25, and that's just really odd.
Yeah, and this is where I think it's real important going into the grain stocks report. The producer out there really watches the cash basis and watches the July D spread as we get ready to hand the baton from July over to September. We'll get the grain stocks report, and then we'll see July go into delivery at the Chicago Board of Trade Mercantile Exchange. That's going to be a big issue. And this week what we saw midweek was the futures rally came in with the wheat leading. July corn led initially, but then all of a sudden the basis started to widen. There were some reports today of more farmer-related selling at the end of the week here, especially in the western corn belt. It was noted that maybe a little bit more farmer-related selling in corn, not so much in beans, and I think that maybe helped along with some of the technicals and some of the levels we hit in the July Dease corn spread, brought in a reversal of that spread. Wouldn't put too much on it right now, but again, next week at this time, if we're talking about widening basis, a lack of interest by the end user, and not a bull spread mindset in the trade like we've seen the last 4 or 5 months, that's when I'd be more nervous about the 2012 crop.
No, you made me go back and take it. You mean 2014 crop?
Well, no, I'm talking about anybody that's holding old crop corn right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, I gave you the wrong year too. Neither of us got to 2013, did we?
No, we didn't want that at all.
Yeah, there you go. So you made me go look at the September real quick. It posted an outside up week.
Exactly, and this is where you're still talking about basis levels that are 60 cents higher than July, even with the widening basis late in the week. And so that puts a terrific potential premium in the September. And I think we would all agree at this point that there's going to be very little new early crop corn out there, especially first half of September at this stage of the game. So this is where the September really becomes a key.
And it just looks like an old crop month, right?
At this point, because of the delayed plantings, I think we could categorize it at that point, and especially given the basis. And, you know, speaking of the spreads, this is one of those rare weeks where we saw the Dease corn finish higher, November beans finish lower, almost by an identical amount on the flat price. This, again, I think was spread unwinding with the wheat coming in and finally showing some teeth to it. Then finally the corn could bottom, and I think the long bean, short wheat, long bean, short corn traders wanted to go ahead and back out of those spread trades to some degree.
Okay, so if it's just unwinding of spreads, and most analysts have been of the idea that beans are the stronger of the two commodities, corn and soybeans, that is, would you expect to see beans come back next week, or are they going to trade sideways?
If the July leads, yes, but I would say on the acreage number, the beans have the most to lose from that report. The beans have the most to lose from ideal weather at this stage, and I think they have the most to lose from the outside markets and how they're associated more with the equities and the S&P. And I think they have the most to lose from if the wheat low would hold, we could see continued spread unwinding. Doesn't mean it's a bearish scenario when it comes to the old crop, but the new crop has to be supported by the old crop. And you have the same structure in July beans and August beans that you have in the July corn and the September corn. So here again, next week when we get those stocks numbers, you'd want to see that August contract really come on board, the August meal really come on board, and see the basis start to narrow and tighten and improve so that it would give an indication to the futures guys that this old crop still is in control.
You mentioned outside markets, but really it was outside influences this week that had a lot to do with what was happening in Chicago at the CME Group. Can you recap what you think Bernanke said and what it means to the marketplace?
I think what Bernanke didn't say was that he had a clear and well-thought-out path out of quantitative easing. I think the trade has seen a weaker China economy coming, a weaker European economy continue, and now a weaker emerging market economy start to develop. But they always, I think, went back to the idea that's okay, the U.S. economy is healing, and the Federal Reserve has a map and has a game plan on how to wean us off the punch bowl of quantitative easing. I think after these last two press conferences, Todd, that confidence is starting to erode pretty quickly, and that you can tell in the bond market. I think the bond market and the bond yields, the 10-year yield went to 2.5%. That's the highest that I can go back and find since August of 2011. I think the higher the bond yield goes and the lower the bond market goes, the lower the confidence is that the Fed will be able to get us out of the quantitative easing without a lot of structural worry and a lot of dismantling or disruption of the financial markets. And I think we saw that in his press conference again this week.
Yeah, so is it just lack of detail of how it will happen?
I do, and I got the sense because, I mean, there was one point in that press conference where he said, look, we'll come back in. If we see things start to weaken, we'll help the financial markets. We'll come back in. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, you're telling us you'll do anything you have to, and that's usually not a confidence builder when you're telling someone in the financial markets that, well, just wait. If things get worse, we'll come back in and step in and do something for you. But they want slow and steady. They want a solid, I think, bias that the plan has been mapped out. They have a game plan, and they're going a certain direction, and they know where they're headed. And I don't think he gave that impression again for a second month.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay. Talk to you Commodity Week, sir.
You bet. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon.